Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing well. Yesterday was fun, huh? The Startup Riot thing.
Yeah, that was a really good time. I really love being around the startup community. You know, there's just, what was it, like 30 presenters. They're presenting for their lives, for their business lives,
like
right?
3 minutes and four slides or something. I mean, you got to be brief, be bright, be gone up there. Did you have a favorite?
I like the, I know you like the bike people.
Yeah, I'm all over the bike. I'm going to write them a check.
You are? You're investing in the bike people? It's just so you know, they're called ViaCycle, and they're like Zipcar for bikes at universities. And the bikes are around campus, and you can just jump on and jump off. It's like $9 a month. And you can use the bikes if you have a membership.
Well, I think they've really cracked the code, though. That instead of having those expensive kiosks that you know people like me have a hard time dealing with, you use your cell phone. Each bike has the electronic gizmo on it. And no kidding, man. I really think that's a winner. But I enjoyed, they're doing a remote broadcast course.
Right.
And I enjoyed interviewing every single one of them. They're just so enthusiastic. They're so passionate about what they're doing. And Sanjay and that Startup Riot crew, they do a fantastic job, man.
Yes, it was a good time. And I look forward to participating in future events with them.
So this is going to be a fun segment today in studio. It's kind of like a real estate show, I think, today, yeah?
It seems to be a common thread amongst our people here.
So first up on the show today is a gentleman with Foundations Design, LLC, and a bit of a celebrity even outside the Business Radio X phenomenon. And we'll give him a chance to talk about that in a little bit. Please welcome to the show Mr. Peter Pasternak. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about all these other celebrity appearances, what's the core business, man? What are you out there doing for folks?
Foundations is a general licensed contractor. We design, build, and renovate homes. So anybody buying a home or in a home that needs some type of home renovation, that's what we do.
So you like would add a room on if I need a room?
Absolutely. Any type of you're staying, any type of kitchen remodel, have to finish a basement, or if you were purchasing a home and needed some rooms built on to add some square footage or make it more usable, then we would be the guys to do it.
Now, is your I'm curious because my neighbor's going through something now, and I have a question that's kind of specific to this. We live in Sandy Springs. There's all kinds of rules. Like, you can't just add a room to your house, right? Like, you have to have all this government blessing of, like, trees cutting down and how far away from the road. And did you know that, Peter? Were you aware of that?
I wasn't when I first started, but we learned very quickly the importance of getting your stuff permitted, right? And whether it's the city of Atlanta, city of Sandy Springs, that when you add, you've got to get a permit, you've got to get drawings done. You really have to get a professional to do it, because if you don't break the rules, you're going to get a knock on your door from somebody you don't want to. So make sure you get to somebody who's licensed that knows all the different rules.
But they were saying that it could be a couple $1,000s. And then they might not even get approved.
That's correct and stuff. And you know, the point that you brought up on one of the houses that we did, when you're adding space, there's always that choice of do you build in back or do you go up and build? And a lot of times that's decided about your trees that are in the back, because you only can take them down and then have to rebuild. If you go up, you might have to get a variance if you're not on the roof line. So there's a lot more technical things when you get into it that a lot of people who are either homeowners really don't have a clue. And so it's ends up being more expensive sometimes than people understand, because they don't know all the things that are involved in it.
And they don't know what they don't know. Like, you just think that, oh, I'm going to add a room. I have a deck on my back, so I'll just throw up a room in my back.
And Cousin Billy used to work construction. I'll call him a couple six-packs, and I got a deck,
right?
But you know, one of the reasons why that's so important is, you're right, a lot of times people go and they do it themselves. And a lot of the houses that Brian and I have taken a look at, we've had to repair and fix it. But if you don't have it licensed and you don't get permitted and it's not corrected in the city, that your appraised value or when you go to sell the house might not appraise, because they don't have all the information they need to understand what the quality and the present value of that house is.
Mm-hmm.
So a little money invested in someone to draw up the plans properly, that's money well invested, isn't it?
I always say that if you're going to do it right, you got to have a professional. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. And sometimes people are trying to save money, which we understand, but in the end it costs them more because they didn't have it done correctly.
Now, you do or supervise this remodeling, this addition kind of work, but you're actually on the investor side of things, right? You flip houses. Is that the right term?
That's one of the things we do. We are licensed general contractors, and the beauty of the company is my business partner, Brian Trow, is the gentleman that runs all the job sites. And I run the business side. Being a CPA and a former banker of 20 years, one of the things that's so important in business, regardless of whether it's real estate or anything else, is you've got to make sure everybody has a different skill set. And so one of the things that distinguishes us is our ability not only to make sure that the project is aesthetically pleasing, but also to make sure that we're on budget.
Well, I was going to say your hands look a little soft for a remodeler. I was reluctant to say that on the air, but I think now the cat's out of the bag, right? You're the brains, you're the business guy. He does, but you have been on A&E's Flip This House, is that right?
That's correct. Brian and I are the lead characters, and our company started in 2005, and as you have brought up so nicely, I don't get my hands dirty, but I'm a good student, and I started watching television. I saw that there was a Flip This House here in Atlanta, and one of the things I became very aware of as an investor was that when you're dealing with a realtor, you need to make sure that they have the expertise with investments. And actually, Brian and I have the ability, and we speak a lot of the realty companies about the information that realtors need to have credibility with them. And so I saw the television show. I reached out to the agent who was on the show. The next season, we were shown as the investors for 4 of the 5 episodes. And then the network came to us and said, Brian and Peter, you're the guys we want. And so we became the lead characters. Our company, our pictures, our bios are all on the A&E website under Flip This House, besides our own website also.
Now, has that helped your business, hurt your business?
It got him a radio interview. What are you talking about?
It definitely helps because it's really about the marketing and the credibility. When people can see you on television, see your work.
Right. I can see Snooki's work on television. I don't know if I'd buy anything from her.
Right. But here's the difference. That's a great point. We use it as a marketing tool to get the door open. But at the end, if you don't have the quality and the work, you're not going to be able to keep and retain business. And Brian and I have been proud. We've been portrayed for the quality of work that we do, and we work really hard to make sure that all of our customers are happy, and we educate them. And that's something that's really important, is to make sure you set standards and your clients know what to expect, because when you do something, you know the process, but when you're dealing with a homeowner or somebody else, they don't know. And so part of it is kind of babysitting and educating them so that everybody's on the same page.
Now, when people hire you, are they going, well, maybe you'll put me on television? Is that like a... Or do I get a deal? Like, if I'm the house that's on television, is that good for me or is that bad for me?
Well, you know, we absolutely get that question asked a lot on there. How do we get on television? And, you know, right now we're not in the midst of taping, and so all of the shows.
But do you save a good one? You're like, oh, we're going to hold off for you for a few months because.
Well, you know, the beauty of television is that you get to meet some interesting people. But all the houses that were on the show were houses that Brian and I bought, fixed up, and then sold. So,
So they're not your clients remodeling?
No,
jobs.
They were actually investment houses that we purchased.
So what kind of mistakes do the uneducated people, like what kind of mistakes are Lee and I likely to make?
We're going to try to do it ourselves.
If we That's go a stroke mistake. A check and invest in real estate.
Well, I think the number one mistake that most investors make to begin with is they forget this is a business. And so when they are taking a look at their homes, they're looking at it and going, wait a minute, if I were to live here, I would make sure I had X in there. And I always say this isn't a hobby. As an investor, you have to understand your numbers. You have to understand what's going to differentiate your house from the other on the market. It's just like knowing your competition on there. And so the number one mistake, absolutely, is treating the house like it's your own instead of as an investment.
So what about the house you live in that you're treating like your own? So you should behave differently in that house?
Well, when it's your house, there's certain things that are going to be custom featured that you want, which
then
is
you
fine.
You do what mama wants. That's what you do
right,
in your house.
Right.
I can answer that question.
But, you know, for example, if you want that purple kitchen, right, and that makes you and your wife happy, then you should have that purple kitchen. If you're an investor and you put a purple kitchen in, it's not going to appeal to most of your people. So that's the type of things you have to think about.
Right.
So what is Real Estate Connections ATL? Talk to us about that.
I'm so glad you asked, because these other guests here have all been to Real Estate Connections. About a year and a half ago, I decided that I wanted to create a networking event for the real estate community. And by the real estate community, it's everybody in that sphere of influence. So it's agents, it's contractors, it's banks, it's attorneys. And their common thread is to want to be involved and network with other professionals. And so we created this event, and the two things that I'm really proud of is, one, the positive atmosphere. There's so many people in today's environment, especially in real estate, that always take a look at the negative instead of surrounding themselves with positive, like-minded people. And so that's the number one thing. The second part is that people are getting business out of there. And so it's kind of like a business matchmaking. When you come in, you have a name tag that says your industry. I typically know who's in that room, and I put people together that night. So if you're the mortgage company, you're looking for the realtors, then I'm making sure you know the realtors. If you're an investor and you're looking for a contractor, we put all those people together. And, you know, this last month, it was great. We had over 200 people. Every month, since January, we started to highlight a different realty company, and that's really added to the enthusiasm. People want to make sure that the realtor's there, and then it's kind of like a domino effect. And so we're very proud. The event's the first Thursday of every month, and if you're out there and want to see what it's like, the difference when you network with positive, like-minded people, next Thursday, March 1st, you want to be at Aja to see and visit Real Estate Connections ATL.
And then, so this is your event that you do, your company does every month?
Yes. Brian and I are the host of the events of Real Estate Connections.
Okay. And then you're doing this just to help the community? Is that kind of a give back for you?
It's about really putting people together in the real estate community. And for us, it's like paying it forward. We're a firm believer that when you create positive energy out there for the community, that it's good for everybody. And as a byproduct, you meet great contacts. I'll give you an example. Brian and I are working on a nice-sized project over in Ansley Park, and probably of all the different trades, the plumbers are the hardest that we have had to find. And so we met a gentleman at the last Real Estate Connections. He came to the project and now is doing the plumbing, and it's been a great contact for us, and it's just a result of his ability to being there.
Well, now, this might be why Peter was nominated as a connector.
Aha.
That's probably not a coincidence.
Yeah, I would say he's doing a pretty darn good job. Now, that is fantastic what you're doing. Before we let you go, let's make sure our listeners know how to learn more about this event and also Foundations Design.
Great. So Real Estate Connections ATL, you can find it on Facebook. Become a fan. It's Real Estate Connections ATL. Or if you go to my Facebook page, Peter Pasternak, you can find it. Again, it's the first Thursday of every month from 6 to 9 o'clock at Aja. That's one way. Foundations Design, our website is www.foundations, that's FOUNDATIONSLLC.com. Again, or you can go to our Facebook page or my personal Facebook page. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. If there's social media, you're going to find me.
Now, is it a good time to buy a house?
It's really a great time to buy a house, because people are always like, well, how do we know we've hit Bonin?
They ring a bell, right?
Well, okay. Yeah. Oh, I just rang it. Ding, 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 ding. Didn't you just hear that bell I rang? But, when you take a look at mortgage rates, right, at historically low rates, and you take a look at prices can't not go down much lower, but I always tell people, you have to make sure that you're in the right location. You don't buy just to buy. You have to find the things that fit your criteria. And as we know about real estate, it's all about location. But all the products, from mortgages to your contractors and stuff, you're going to be able to get better pricing now. And so it's really a great time.
Any areas of town that you recommend?
It all depends if it's for investment purposes or for your personal purposes. For investment purposes, if you're going to buy it and rent it, there are a lot of inexpensive places you can find. A lot of investors are going to the south side.
I can get you a condo.
Pardon?
I can get you a condo.
Okay, yeah. I thought there was a bridge when I came in. You were telling me about two, but you know, anything else, you've got to be educated. And so, if you're going to invest, you have to make sure that you. I always say partner up, find a mentor, somebody who's done it successfully, and learn it. If not, it's going to be what I call tuition paid. That those mistakes are going to cost you, and they can get pretty expensive on there. So a lot of times, I say whether it's an intern, a mentor. Find somebody that does it well and have them help you and show you the ropes.
What a terrific conversation. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this morning, man.
Thanks for having me here. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. You going to stick around while we visit with our other guests?
Absolutely.
Terrific. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have the gentleman from What's Under Your Roof, Mr. Melton Bennett. Welcome to the show, man.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what's under your roof?
What's under my roof?
What's under your roof?
What's Under Your Roof is a home and office inventory solutions company. Net that down for you. I go into a person's home. I take pictures. I catalog everything that they own. I produce a report, upload it to software, and then they have the peace of mind that if something happens, they can recover.
That is very cool. What's under your roof, Lee?
Big mess. So you'll just take pictures of a big mess?
I will. I will not help you organize it, but I will take pictures of it.
Can I pay extra for that? No.
Well, why would we pay you? All kidding aside, why would people pay you instead of just getting their 14-year-old and the flip cam out?
Yeah, well, for a couple of reasons. The key reason is that people say they're going to do it. I did it for years. For 10 years, I moved into a new home. I'm going to catalog and inventory my home, but I simply never did it for many years. And a lot of people will even download and buy the software to do it, and they still don't manage to do it. Once you get into it, you find that it is a very complicated process. If you don't know how to boil it down and compartmentalize it, it can be a daunting process.
So it really is more than just walking around the house with a flip cam.
Here's my TV, there's my stereo. That's not it? That's not it.
We're doing a lot more than that.
I would go next door and get a shot of their TV. They have flat screen, right?
It's a better strategy for insurance purposes, right?
Exactly. The most important thing is capturing those serial numbers in case you have a burglary. Itemizing jewelry, arts, furs. I did a closet recently in Buckhead where a woman had $200,000 worth of shoes and bags, you know, and turns out those weren't scheduled on her insurance policy. That's not a good thing. So it's also educating them and helping them figure out what they need to do from an insurance perspective.
So everybody else, when we're young, we're playing cowboys and Indians, cops and robbers. You're thinking, you know what I'd like to do is I'd like to capture home inventory. How did you fall into this
career? Did you have trouble videoing people, and then this was like a fallback job?
They were more cooperative?
We'll talk about that video
you
career
can ask
a different
Peter,
time.
I mean, TV people, they're
yeah, it seems very
cantankerous.
Easy.
Right. So how'd you get started?
Well,
it's
interesting how I fell into it because I started collecting vintage 20th century, mid-century glass and pottery. And I have now filled my basement with about 50,000 pieces of this. Very serious hobby. But each time a piece would arrive, I would catalog it, take a picture of it. I would measure it, list the descriptors. Wow. Before I knew it, I had this massive Excel spreadsheet. Then I said, okay, I need to do my wine cellar. So I did my wine cellar, and then I just kept going and finished the whole house. When I was done, I thought it was pretty neat and said, you know what? Everybody needs this. And I did some research and started What's Under Your Roof.
Wow. Have you seen Hoarders?
I have, and I avoid Hoarders.
I'd say the fee goes up a wee bit when you come across
a just a bit. I tell everybody what one person has in 1,000 square feet can be very different than what someone else has in 1,000 square feet. So
how do you get the business? Hanging out with the Peter Pasternak and the Acopias of the world?
I absolutely have to give kudos to Peter. I can vouch. I've participated in Real Estate Connections for probably a year, 14 months now.
Oh, wow.
And not only have I gotten referrals out of it, but I've also made really good friends. And Peter works that crowd. He is moving from person to person. Who do you need to know? Let's go find that person. He'll drag you by the arm to go introduce them. So be sure to come out to Real Estate Connections next week, March 1st at Aja.
First Thursday of every month. See, I'm writing down my notes.
Down?
So Peter's getting plenty of mileage out of today's conversation. So very simple, straightforward fee schedule, or you got to come to my house and just see how tough it's going to be?
No, I typically don't come to your house. It's pretty straightforward. We charge by the square foot to do the comprehensive inventory package. If someone says, hey, I really do want to do it myself, they can go to my website. There is a software tool they can download there.
Huh.
And then I will follow up with them to find out in a few months if they actually did it or not.
Cool. And what's the deliverable? What will I get? I write the check. The check clears. You've come out. You've done your thing. What do I have?
Check clearing is the important part. once that's done, you'll receive a hard copy, which is going to be a report of probably 400 pages, and it's categorized by categories.
Wow.
It's arranged by room, and then there's a master list. And on that list, by the way, you're going to find things like those serial numbers I talked about, the descriptions, but you also have the opportunity to do bequeathing. So if we're talking to someone who's thinking about their estate planning and wants to make sure that their grandson Bobby gets a certain item, we do that work for them as well. But the paper is just because people are very, very tactile. They want to see and touch something.
Right.
The important part is the software that you get so that this report is placed out on the internet somewhere and it's safe from harm if something happens to your home.
Now, do you come back like annually? Like how often do I get...
Because presumably my life's going to get better and richer and more stuff,
that's
right?
That's what I'm counting on. Yeah, absolutely. So what I do when I leave is I give you a bag, and I say throw all your receipts in there for everything that you purchase. I'm going to come back a year later, collect that bag. I'm going to enter all of that data into the spreadsheet that we've already started, and then find out from you what you've taken out of inventory. So it's always up to date.
And then so then you can't charge the same square footage rate for that return visit, can you?
No. It's just a small fee once a year to do that.
So this is a fascinating concept to me. I'm curious, though. You get tremendous value out of Peter's thing, right?
Absolutely.
How do you work the room? Because you don't get a chance to have this type of in-depth, substantive conversation. Or do you? Do you just grab one or two people, and if you can have this kind of conversation, try to hit 28 people at the
same time? Yeah, the key for me is to just isolate those 5 or 10 people that I think we have complementary backgrounds, and then take it outside of real estate connections and do a one-on-one or have a breakfast or lunch and explore how we can help each other. And I'm very much about giving back to the other person. I don't believe in one-way streets.
And so walk it through a little bit, though. So you and I, we're at this Real Estate Atlanta Connections. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay. So you and I are at this thing. And say, hey, yeah, remember you were on the show. Hey, how you doing? Tell me more about this thing. And so we're going to talk for 5 or 10 minutes, and then what if you feel like, okay, this is a viable candidate, we're going to get together for lunch, or what are we going to do?
Absolutely. That's the preference, because the objective is to isolate those 5 or 10 people that are good contacts that evening and then go have a meaningful, fruitful conversation that can last an hour or so to really delve into the details, find out how you can complement each other. The most important part is you've got to build credibility and a sense of partnership with one another. And you just really can't do it in that room with 200 people.
Right. And you're also going to probably ask me, hey, Stone, how can I help you? What kind of guests do you need on your shows? That kind of stuff?
Absolutely. First question I always ask is, how can I help you? And we'll figure out how I can help you. And then I hope
that's going to be the long part of the conversation. I need a lot of help, Milton.
It's often that way. Now, but by the law of reciprocity, then I believe it comes back to you.
Now, who's the best referral partner for you? Who refers most of your business?
Well, there are really two types of inventories that I do. One is just for disaster planning, and that, of course, a good referral is an insurance agent. I work with several independent agencies here in Atlanta, and that's where the bulk of my business comes. And then divorce attorneys are another one. I do a lot of divorce and estate plannings. And what I do,
they have to document everything and split it up?
They do. They have to submit it to the court. And what I do is admissible in court since I'm an independent third-party inventory professional.
Now, do insurance agents, insurance companies, do they embrace this idea? Do they like this idea? Do they reward it, or do they not like it?
They absolutely love it. As a matter of fact, my agencies are having me come in, do lunch and learns to explain how they can better position it.
Nice.
The reason is because it gives them better insight into their accounts. Mm-hmm. And statistics show that 66% of all Americans don't have enough contents insurance. So there's a very good opportunity that once I complete that inventory, the insurance agent can have a conversation with that person and bump up that policy a bit.
Like the lady with the shoes.
Yes.
Well, I'm just wondering if I'm an insurance agent, I would probably want, I might encourage that, might even subsidize it for my, I don't know, that might
it
be
does,
illegal. I don't
it
know.
Does happen for some of the more affluent guys. They will give them a free inventory just to maintain their business.
All right, what about the commercial side of things? Can you take the same thing to businesses as
Absolutely.
Opposed to just residences?
Yeah, and I enjoy businesses. And when we say businesses, that also encompasses nonprofits and churches because both of those usually have a lot of assets on site that need to be protected. Churches are often targets for burglaries. So I do work with a lot of restaurants here in Atlanta. A gentleman who owns 7 restaurants, as a matter of fact, we go in and inventory all of his restaurants. capture all the receipts where he bought all that very expensive equipment and the chairs and stools and everything else. So absolutely.
We got to put him in the studio with our new restaurant food show coming up. We don't have the official show set up yet, but we've been having a lot of restaurant and food-related people coming through the studio on Atlanta Business Radio. And we just had, who was it we just had from the school?
Le Cordon Bleu.
Can I eat? I'll definitely be here if I can.
That was our thinking behind having the show.
They bring food, man. Most of them, they really do. That's a lot of fun.
I'll be here. Email me.
It's going to be fun. Let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you and learn more about this, man.
Yeah, please visit my website. It's whatsunderyourroof.com. There you'll find a lot more about what we do, some of our services. And one other important thing for us is we believe in giving back. 10% of all our profits go to Best Friends Animal Organization out in Utah, which is where Michael Vick's dogs were all sent. That's very important to us to give back, so you can also read more about them there as well, and I encourage you to do that.
Cool. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you so much.
I
appreciate you having me.
Yeah, well, we'll have you back sometime. Maybe when we know there's food coming, then I'll have
that's
it in my little
criteria.
Ticket.
Give
Milton a give him a call.
Right. I will hold you to it.
Hey, hang out with us for a little while. We've got one more or two more guests, I think.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Terrific. So, Lee, we got, I think, bringing this whole thing home. We've got some folks from Acopia Home Loans. Is that right?
That's what I hear.
And
the headliners.
We got two or three of them in the studio with us today. And the first one up, I think, is Mr. I love this guy's name.
I know.
Joe Dollar. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We are glad to have you. Nice tie, by the way. You know it's radio, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's still a nice tie. I'm very impressed. Acopia Home Loans, you loan money to people like me and Lee when we want to buy houses we can't afford? Or we're not allowed to do that anymore, right? Those days are over.
Just depends.
So, no, give us the thumbnail sketch, if you will, about Acopia Home Loans. How are you guys working? How's it going out there?
It's been going great. You know, the rates are down, and a lot of people are trying to take advantage of all the great home prices. So, you know, business has been booming for us.
Yeah, and who do you have with you here?
This is my branch manager, Rick Fantucci.
Hello, Mr. Fantucci. How you doing, man?
Good, Stone. How are you?
I'm doing well. So you're writing a lot of business, or is it tough? Because isn't credit a lot tighter right now?
Credit's tighter. Values were tighter. But some of the things we're going to talk about today is the exciting changes in the mortgage industry that's occurring with the new HARP 2.0 program that we'll talk about here shortly. But just to touch on Acopia real quickly, we are a lender that underwrites. We lend our own money. And we offer our services to mortgage brokers as well as our own retail loan officers. And so we're primarily in the Southeast, and we're growing real strong.
All right.
So now, hard to find people whose name have money in their name?
Yeah, that was
when you're hiring.
That was an automatic in, wasn't it? Wouldn't you love to call your broker and say his name is Dollar?
He was hired on spot. Just heard his name and.
Does he even need a resume? Like, really?
He is Mr. Dollar.
I know. That's like done.
You maximize your dollar with Joe Dollar.
Exactly.
I love it. So, all right, talk to us about this HARP 2.0 thing, guys. What's this all about?
HARP 2.0 is an overdrive of HARP, which is more than just an instrument that angels play. HARP stands for Home Affordable Refinance Program, and it was enacted in March of 2009 with the sheer design to help Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loan holders refinance with easier restrictions on appraised value. Unfortunately, as well as that program was intended, it didn't turn out quite as well because the property values have severely declined. So even though there was a relaxed appraisal value allowed on it, it wasn't quite covering. I'm sure you've heard people say, I tried to refinance, but I'm just underwater, $60,000.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And in my neighborhood, which is not a fun conversation.
Well, all of our neighborhoods. Well, imagine us. You know, we order the appraisal, and it comes in. We usually get a nice phone call from a homeowner who doesn't understand what's happened, and it's prevented them from being able to take advantage of these incredible low rates that are out there right now. So the design was good in intent, but failed in execution for a good chunk of the people that it was supposed to reach out to. So this year, or end of last year, President Obama made an announcement that they wanted to help this program and enhance it more so that more people could take advantage of the rates that are out there right now. So HARP 2.0 is an overhaul of HARP, the original HARP program. And so what it's designed to do is take appraisal out of the equation entirely. So starting in December of this past year, they allowed you to go up to 125% of your value. Sometime mid-March, in that time frame, appraisal will be taken out of the equation.
So how do they decide how much money they're going to loan you if they don't? If it's not based on appraisal?
It'll be based on what they currently owe on their Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan. So it's not a cash-out opportunity. You know, so investors, you know, like Peter, they're not going to be able to take advantage of.
Not letting the pastor know.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're not. You can't just write your own check.
Those sharks just coming. Yeah, exactly.
but those who have a mortgage balance have a certain rate, could be an adjustable rate, could be a rate higher than what the market is out there right now. As long as they're credit worthy, based on the guidelines that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac they've set forward for this program.
And are those a little more relaxed, or are those
it is
still
more
pretty
relaxed.
Stringent?
No, actually, it is more
relaxed.
Can
like a radio host get one of these loans?
A radio host could probably do it. You probably could. They did, you know, in addition to the appraisal being taken out of the equation, the debt-to-income ratio requirements are a little less stringent. At the same time, bankruptcy time periods in which you have to be removed from, that has been lifted. So the purpose, hopefully, is to help people who really are trying to make their payment, they're trying to stay in their house, they're doing a pretty good job of it, they can't take advantage of the great rates that are out there right now simply because the property value. So hopefully, you know, what people in our industry are cautiously optimistic of is this is going to be the next great and possibly last refi boom of our careers. So we're wondering what's going to take place and to get ready for the wild ride that's about to occur.
Okay, Mr. Dollar, there's no free lunch. Where's this money coming from to shore up this gap? Does the math really work on this, or is this all frou-frou dust? And talk to us about this program.
Oh, no, it's there's the money's coming basically from us.
Wow, that's really
not
nice
us personally, but man, he's Joe Dollar, but he's got it.
Got you covered.
All right.
No,
Joe.
I mean, sure. I mean, those of us that sit in the barbershop and bitch about politics and home values and stuff, we're wondering, okay, so where's the money? This is actually going to cost me money in the end, right?
Well,
is that the deal?
Most likely.
Okay. All right. See there? Joe doesn't pull any punches.
Exactly.
He tells you the
truth. Straight up.
All right.
Now, so who's the candidate for this? So I'm underwater. I'm a candidate, or. Who's the guy that's going to take out this loan?
Okay. The person who's going to be able to take this loan out is going to be a current Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan holder. And people may or may not know those are government-sponsored entities.
Right.
They've been in the news a lot. It's been a train wreck. They're trying to salvage it. But at the same time, they have insured mortgages out there. And if you are a Fannie Mae or a Freddie Mac loan holder and you originated that loan prior to March of 2009, you could be eligible for this program. And the easiest way to find out if this applies to you is you could Google Fannie Mae loan lookup or Freddie Mac loan lookup, follow the instructions, and it'll tell you whether or not they hold that loan.
Oh, 'cause it may not be obvious. Like, I might think my bank owns my own loan,
right.
But really...
And that's almost never
people
the
don't
case,
understand.
Man. They turn and sell it, right?
Yeah.
It's right?
What?
They do. They do. They sell it because they have guarantees on it by entities
right.
like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Right.
So that's all part of it. So you're absolutely right. Most people don't know and that they actually have those types of loans.
Now, that's one kind of loan. You guys do VA stuff too?
We do VA. VA is designed to assist military, Veterans Administration is who puts that on,
right.
And it's set up to allow military and surviving spouses get access to mortgage lending with little money down, or no money down actually, and no mortgage insurance premium based on loan limits and very competitive market rates. So it gives them, those who are serving our country or have served our country, actually have an opportunity to get affordable housing.
Now, do you think that this is being underused, the VA mortgage?
I don't know about it being underused. Most people who are in the military are aware of it. So I do know that originators used to not be as familiar with it, and you kind of promote the products that you're comfortable with. We have a very strong VA program. I think it's one of the greatest loans out there, and we help veterans all the time on it. So hopefully that people in our business understand it and therefore would promote it because it is an advantage.
Now, you live in a very competitive arena How do you go to market? I mean, you too take advantage of this thing. This is the Pasternak Hour, by the way. It's not
it's
really
like an infomercial.
But you go to this Real Estate Connections ATL as well. But how else do you go to market?
Well, we're very active in business networking groups. We're very active in the communities that we live in, and as a company, our goal is to reach out and let it be known what we do. So, yes, we have a lot of success with Peter's events. Every time we're out there and we sponsor a table there, he's very wonderful at taking our originators and introducing them, making connections with people that make it, you know, provide business to us. But we're really word of mouth networking type mentality as a company.
Well, that's got to be fun at a cocktail party or a family reunion saying, my broker is Joe Dollar. sure you get a lot of mileage out of Fantucci, too.
Yeah. If they can pronounce it. It is kind of sometimes fun to tell people you're in the mortgage industry, but then they look at you like, you're in the mortgage industry? You're a cause of our problems.
You should show up with like pizza or something. You got to have your own little gimmick, man.
Hey, there you go.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Free pizzas with every refi. There you go.
Now, when you were out there, you got this HARP thing going, you got the VA stuff. Is there any other opportunities out there for people refi?
Yeah, well, one of the most popular ones recently has been FHA. And what makes FHA so popular with people
is... There's a lot of initials in this business.
I know.
You got your HARP and your FHA, VA, and your VA, FHA, and your Fannie Mae. I'm sorry,
Fannie
go ahead
Mae.
There.
Oh, yeah, it's alphabet.
Sir Dollar.
Go ahead. It rhymes. There's a lot of rhyming. Fannie Mae, FHA.
So what got people really interested in the FHA was the low down payment, 3.5% to purchase a home. Well, you know, with the home values going down, FHA was one of the first people to actually institute being able to refinance your house when you're underwater. And they have the most, I like theirs the best. You know, it's been out there for a little while, and you can do what's called a streamline, no appraisal. So it's the same type of deal. You do a rate and term, and there's even no closing cost options out there. So people can get into these, you know, high threes, low fours, you know, great interest rates, and not even adding anything to their loan.
So how long does all this take? If I find the house of my dreams, I want it tomorrow. Are we? Is it 3 months before this house is mine? Is it 1 month? How long does all this take?
I don't know. I mean, our average is on purchase, you know, about 3 weeks on one of these.
Really?
On one of these streamlined refinances, 7 to 10 days. I mean,
yeah.
They're really quick.
Now, the foreclosures, though, don't they drag out a little bit when you get that special deal, the guy in foreclosure?
It depends on who has the foreclosure. If it's HUD, it's not too bad. You know,
right.
You're usually looking four, maybe 5 weeks at the most.
Y'all fool that at all?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah?
Those are great because a HUD foreclosed home is actually allowed to do a $100 down payment. You only have to do the 3.5%.
That sounds like my kind of investment.
There you go.
But the one drawback to FHA is that it is for primary residences only. Now, what he didn't mention about the HARP program was you can do second and investment properties as well.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Were you aware of that, Peter?
Yeah. Yes, I was aware of that.
Just trying to help you out.
We're here to help, Peter.
I appreciate that.
I don't want you to miss anything that's going on, you know.
Education's the key.
So if you're shopping for a loan broker, a mortgage broker, if you're me, Joe, average citizen, and you're shopping, what kind of questions should we be asking? How do you interview a potential loan mortgage broker? What should I be asking people?
If you're interviewing me?
Yeah, like if I'm considering you and maybe two or three other people,
okay.
What kind of questions
should I
be asking?
Well, first, I shouldn't consider anybody else, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Start there.
Yeah, stop looking. you just want to, you know, ask them, you know, what kind of origination fees they charge. We're a very low fee lender. You know, that's kind of one of the major things. You need to figure out, you know, what kind of hours they keep. Me personally and pretty much everybody else in my office, you know, we're available pretty much 24/7. You know, we give people our cell phone numbers, our,
right.
You know, they, our
home
emails.
Number.
Yeah.
Well, home
if,
address.
If we have
that.
So get clear on the fees. Decide what kind of access that you're
Yeah, because,
you're
I mean, that's
have.
Kind of what right. sets us apart is, you know, our accessibility. You know, if somebody needs to call me at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night because they got some burning question, they don't have to sleep on it. They can just call me and ask.
Right.
Now, I've heard horror stories like you go ready to close. Everybody's got their house and you get there and you're like, that wasn't the interest rate. I thought it was another number. How do you guys prevent? prevent any of that craziness?
Well, for the most part, the government has enacted a lot of regulations to stop that. You know, as long you got your good faith estimates, and as long as your rate has been locked in, it's not going to change. So that's one question you want to ask your mortgage lender: is my rate locked when it's locked, and things like that, and just kind of follow up with them on things.
Now, what if it's locked and then it gets lower? Do I just lose?
Well, there are times when you can float down a rate, but those are very rare circumstances.
I want all pushes and pulls. If I'm the guy buying,
I like winning.
Right?
I prefer to win at all turns.
So the real estate guy standing in the room too during the closing, right? And he's just salivating, right?
Because
this is
when he
gets his check.
Yeah, and they play a big part as well. And I push that with anybody I'm interviewing. I that's one of the first questions I ask myself: are you working with a buyer's agent? Because the buyer's agent is, it's one of the greatest things out there right now, because really they work for free in essence to the consumer, because they actually get paid by the selling.
They're getting a piece of that selling.
Yes.
Now, is it legal, ethical, appropriate for you and real estate agents to be referring business and endorsing each other? That's all above board, right? That's good.
Yeah.
You want me working with a competent real estate agent if I come to you first.
Sure. It protects your investment, which is your client out there searching for houses. And as long as there's no monetary exchange to work together and it's just based on a professional relationship, that's absolutely
right.
Probably
and he
the
wants
most
me working
thing.
With you guys, because he knows that you are going to come to the closing table with all your ducks in a row and all that stuff.
Yeah, and if
so
I'm a realtor, I'm going to tell my clients that, hey, listen, I work well with Joe Dollar, and you can call him at 9 o'clock at night because of my relationship with him, so you'll get your questions answered.
And what are you going to say about radio when you have these conversations? You going to tell me you work with Lee Cantor?
Of course.
Now, how do you – I always wondered this. I can see real estate people, because they're out there meeting tons of people – and they're sending you business. How do you reciprocate back to them? Because I would imagine that they send you way more people than you send them.
Yeah, at times it gets that way. But, we have a lot of contacts they don't know. That we all work in our own spheres.
Right.
I have people, I do a lot of social networking. I do a lot of networking with Peter, and he puts me in touch with people. And then just, you run across a lot of people, and you just,
But do you have to, dole it out? It's like, okay, I gave that guy one, so I got to now give
this
other guy one.
Well, you
got
to,
that's a map of Atlanta, with all the real estate agents around.
Well, just like Milton was talking about before, you get to know people one-on-one. You know what their characters are. You know what part of town they work in. So you want to put people in the right situation. I had a great way for I put somebody together this past weekend.
Right.
She had actually already had an agent, but she didn't even know who her agent really was, dropped the ball, and didn't even know anything that was going on in the transaction. So I actually introduced her to one of my top guys who's a buyer's agent, and she's in love with it now. Yeah.
And so, it's a good idea, I guess, a rule of thumb is you want an agent that works in the area you're looking to move to. So if there's a Dunwoody person that specializes in Dunwoody, that's better than the guy that's from East Cobb that's going to sell the Dunwoody house?
Sometimes. If you're in Atlanta, most of Atlanta, but, at times people really want to be specific. If they've got small children, they're really worried about,
elementary school district. That's it. That's the only area I'm going to buy in.
Yeah.
Is it better to get somebody that's specialized in that area or not always?
If it's that specific, then sometimes it's better to find somebody in the neighborhood.
This is good stuff, man.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
Well, you didn't know much.
Exactly, so it was easy. All right, what's the best way if people want to kind of connect with you guys? What's your website?
Well, me personally, I'm josephdollar.com.
Of course you are.
He has his own website.
He's that cool.
He has his own website. Do you have your own theme music everywhere you go? You got this stuff played in the background?
Yeah, that's what Barbie's for.
But
you could also visit us at acopiahomeloans.com.
Let's go with that website.
I'm going to this dollar website.
It's not all about Joe here, okay? All right, so at that website that has information, does that talk about these kind of loans that you were talking about here, or is it best to talk to one of your people?
It's best to talk to one of the people, and you can get access to those people from the website.
Cool. All right, well, that wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. For Stone Payton, I am Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time.